Amen. Thank you. Take your Bible, if you would. Turn to Psalm 61, if you would, please. Psalm 61. Again, remember our MMA outreach this Tuesday, as I mentioned. Also, what we'd like to do, if we could, man, if we could, after the service, before you head home to a good meal, if we could move some of these chairs. Louis is here. He'll direct that. He just got drafted to be in charge of that. But we'll move some chairs after the morning service here. Psalm 61, are you there? Psalm 61, look with me if you would at verse 5. Psalm 61, verse 5. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Do you know that in this country we have a heritage. We're reaping the benefits of those generations that have gone before us who have had some type of fear of God. Do you know that? I'd like to look at this morning if I could. Why don't I pray briefly and then we'll get started. Bow your head with me if you would. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we give you this time and we pray that you would just be honored and glorified in what happens here today. Father, we pray that you would meet with us and teach us from your word. Be with all the classes that are going on downstairs. Lord, we don't take this country for granted. It is such a tendency for us to take for granted what we've been given. But Father, all we have to do is look throughout history or look around in this world and we'll see that we've been given some amazing gifts. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to be good stewards of where we live. In Jesus' name, amen. The Declaration of Independence says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with a certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Folks, compared to the rest of history on earth, we are living in a time of maximum freedoms and potential. Both politically and spiritually, we are at a summit. Generations, centuries before us have looked forward to what we hold today as commonplace. We have amazing freedom, and there is a danger that comes with freedom. We can forget what we have and why we have it. We can become not as proactive in using liberty or vigilant in protecting that liberty. You know, it's almost as if the absence of conflict, whether spiritual or political, takes us off target. It seems as if the most politically pure and spiritually pure times are those spent trying to attain freedoms, not when we are enjoying them. This is our history in America, the pursuit of freedom. I heard on a Christian radio the topic of the caste system. Have you heard about the caste system? I'm not talking about the cast on your arm when you break your arm. I'm talking about the caste system that's associated with Hinduism. It has a stranglehold on many countries, including many Indian countries. And I was challenged by the contrast of our great liberties with the caste system that actually squelches liberties. The caste system is levels of social status ranging from high, with lots of respect, and low, basically living in poverty. In the caste system, your identity is the consequence of your birth and ancestry, and really it's unchangeable. In the caste system, because of their birth in a certain caste, someone's social worth is defined and affirmed. Because of their caste, they that are of a more value than those of lower caste and less value of those in higher caste, those in lower castes are not to be associated with, while those in a higher caste are to be admired and their relationships sought out. In other words, what caste you are born into determines how you will be treated. It determines what you will do for a living. It determines who you will marry. And it determines if, when things get tough, if you will be able to survive. So the lowest caste are called the untouchables. In the past, it made up nearly 20% of India. These untouchables lived in slums. They were the beggars. They were the poor. They were the outcasts. They were neglected and abused, uncared for, all because of their birth. Folks, in contrast with that, our birth as an American citizen has not brought us degradation, but rather it's brought us promotion. It hasn't brought us disgrace. It's brought us honor and privilege. Now, it's not always been the case for every American. We've seen great progress in the last 150 years. But woven into the fabric of our country is the declaration that we are independent and we give all men freedom. And that freedom comes from God. Our declaration says all men are created equal. And they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And folks, that stands in stark contrast to the rest of the world, especially those where dictators hate what we stand for and oppress those who stand for what we stand for. In many ways, we are a shining city on a hill. And folks, the values that we have are not man-made, they are God-given. Our founding fathers understood God created man, and therefore there are implications that come when God exists and he creates man. Our founding fathers understood that all men are given by the Creator certain unalienable, I'll say it right sometime, unalienable, there it is, rights. And this belief in action has been what makes America great. So this morning, I know it's a little warm, and I know that we're having some issues with the mic. It's bouncing, but bear with me. I've got three things I'd like to share with you, four freedoms that we find in our declaration. I believe that they're rights given to us by God, and what we'll find that it's mirrored in political policy. So the first one is this. All men are created what? Equal. We have the freedom of equality in this country. We have freedom of equality. This is the problem with the caste system. Men are not born equal. What does God say about equality? Well, look with me if you would. We won't turn to many places. Look with me at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, if you would please. The first freedom that we see is equality. All men are created equal. Now, we're just going to plop down in the middle of Acts 17. I don't like to normally do this. I like to give you the context. I believe that context is king. It's key to understanding. But we're going to break that rule today. And we're just going to plop right down Acts chapter 17. Look with me at verse 26. God hath made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined alleged periods at the boundaries of their dwelling place. God hath made from where? From one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. Okay. All men come from the same place, from one man, one woman. And folks, if that is true, then there cannot be different levels of worth because we are all equal. We all come from the same couple. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't differentiate. Look with me at another passage, Galatians chapter 3. So turn to the right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians chapter 3. You're familiar with this verse. Look with me at verse 26. For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave, free, male, female. You are all one in Christ. Now, Paul is talking about the bond of Christ, yet the bond of Christ is more than spiritual, it's physical. While we are different in nationality, folks, we are all the human race. God sees us the same and treats us the same. This equality that we love here, it comes from Scripture. And it comes from God Himself. So, political policy. Since we have a heritage of men who feared God, from the time the Declaration was enacted, equality has been pursued legally. Did you get that? Since the founders believed in God and this truth, this equality idea has been pursued legally. In 1776, the colonies were under the English rule. Royal family and friends and nobility received unfair privilege. The Church of England ruled from across the sea with an iron fist, and so it prompted something. What was it called? There was a war. It rhymes with revolutionary. Right? Okay? So we're saying we believe in this equality. We believe that we have certain rights, and so we fought this war. Okay? Then after that, in 1780, the first resistance to slavery started. This took 100 years to come about in the Civil War, where the rights of all men to live free, regardless of race, was gained. After the Civil War, the 14th Amendment was passed. Listen to this. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privilege or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, and property without the process of law, nor to deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. So really what the Civil War was about state rights. And here that we're saying, as a whole, we're saying the states need to enforce an equality, a protection for everyone. Even after the Civil War, black codes were in effect in the South where a black man could not own or buy property. Then came segregation issues. But America has always stood for equality of man because its founders believed the truths of Scripture. In every man, the conscience says, I was born to be free. I was born to be equal with others. Not only has race been an equality issue, sexism has been a problem. Do you know the Bible has things to say about women and their rights? Do you know that? Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 3. Flip over there, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look with me at verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And the wives are saying amen to that. How can you live with them in an understanding way? Well, you can show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Not talking about intellectually. Not talking about spiritually. Since they are heirs with you and of the grace of life. Heirs with you. Folks, what that's talking about is when I get to heaven and you get to heaven, there is absolutely no difference between me and my wife. When God looks down on earth, while he has placed men and women in some different roles, when he looks down, there is absolutely no difference between us. Folks, there has been promoted throughout time sexism. And while the Bible is looked at as backwards, it actually is the thing that champions women's rights. It has been. The Apostle Paul was a great champion of the equality of a woman. Do you know that in the Apostle Paul's time and earlier, a woman was simply a commodity to be bought, sold, and traded? And the gospel comes in and it opens up our understanding and saying, no, God did not make us this way. And so it's sort of ridiculous when we live in a culture that looks at us as bigoted and backwards, when actually what we believe has been that which pushes this equality. Christianity has liberated women. Women around the world for centuries have been uneducated, without rights. And the United States has moved forward their rights. Do you remember the Proverbs 31 woman and all of the stuff that she was able to do? She was educated. She's industrious. She's using the markets to make gain. Guess what? It doesn't happen in a country where this isn't the foundation. It just doesn't. So this weekend, what we are able to do is to look back at the heritage that we have of men who have went before us, not perfect men, not men that even perhaps we would agree completely theologically with, but they are men who held high the Word of God and the belief and the tenets that it taught. We have equality. The second freedom that we have, and we'll move quickly through this, is opportunity. We have the opportunity of life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Pursuit of happiness. Do you know that that's crazy talk in a lot of countries even today? Do you know that? You have the right to life, even if you're unborn. Liberty and the pursuit. This isn't a Cadillac commercial. The pursuit of happiness. Probably equal attraction to the United States with equality is opportunity. People are pouring across our borders because of equality and opportunity. All men have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit. This stands again in stark contrast to the caste system. Why do dictators limit man's opportunity? Why do regimes and caste systems limit man's opportunity? Folks, I submit to you that ultimately it is a spiritual issue. Because in the dictator's heart, it is a sinful thing to lord over one another. But our flesh, that's the desire. It wants to control other people, to keep men ignorant and oppressed for my own gain. But the book of James says, do not the rich men oppress you? Do they not hold back your wages? Folks, God never intended that. There is something inside of man that wants freedom of opportunity. God put that there. Opportunity for life. I think in this country we've forgotten some of that, haven't we? The Bible states that we are made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. It also says, thou shalt not kill. And unfortunately, what we're seeing in America is there's some leaving of the morals that we've been founded on. I think every child conceived should have the opportunity for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And so it's put into political policy. And then it's changed. But there's still other aspects of opportunity that's still there. Do you know that it's illegal to kill other people? It's illegal to hurt other people, to abuse other people. Why? Because everyone has the opportunity for life. They should have that opportunity for life. We have the opportunity for liberty. The Bible teaches the free will of man. The Bible teaches that each of us will give an account for God, how we have to live. And so we see that mirrored in political policy. The United States gives us the opportunity for liberty. We have a free market. We have free speech. We are free to make yourself whatever you want. And then lastly, there's the opportunity for the pursuit of happiness. Solomon said, it is good and fitting for one to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God hath given him. Folks, that is available in the United States. Do you know that? My pursuit of happiness, whatever that would look like within the law, is available here. You look around the world, it is not available like we had it here today. And folks, what I want to do is to get us to understand, as you know, but this is not by accident. This is tied to something deeper than man's logic. It's tied to the eternal truth of God. This is the way God made us to live. Equal. Free. To have opportunity. The third freedom that we see is the freedom of worship. These rights are endowed by their
their Creator. If we have unalienable rights, we must have the right to know who gave us those unalienable rights. One of the original attractions to the New World was the freedom of worship. We know of the colonists, separatists, the Puritans. They wanted freedom from the Church of England. They wanted freedom from the state church. They didn't want to be told what they could believe or not believe. They wanted freedom to interpret the Bible according to their own conscience. The First Amendment of our Constitution states this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. So, what we're doing here has been given to us because men hundreds of years ago said, I believe this. Not exactly the way we would believe it, but I believe it. And God has placed inside of me this desire to be able to worship freely. And so we assemble here today because of what they fought for. And the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting this place. And Congress shall never interfere with what happens in this place. And we have the freedom to assemble in this place. So I'm thankful for this country. I've talked to fellow pastors who say, I go to this country and to that country, and there is no freedom to assemble in this place. Not at all. Folks, we live in maximum freedom compared to others. What a blessing this is. Freedom to worship. Freedom to worship. We can gather without fear. We can teach the whole counsel of God. We can call sin a sin and clearly define righteousness. Because of the freedom to worship, we can share our faith without fear of being reported. All that God asks us to do as a church, we can do without fear of repercussion. And the danger with freedom is that it can become commonplace. There has been very limited times in church history where this has been the case. Even the Apostle Paul's day, he was persecuted. Freedom of worship should cause the Great Commission to be fulfilled to the max. Freedom of worship should cause righteous living to be fulfilled to the max. But what do we find with the freedoms that we have? It's almost like the more freedoms that we have, the less we are willing to exercise what God has called us to do. And yet we look at China, and our brothers in China who are severely persecuted are radically living the righteous life. Living it out, knowing that they'll be persecuted. Our brothers in China who are severely persecuted are sharing the gospel. They're growing churches. They're establishing people in the faith. It's almost as if the absence of conflict makes us come more stagnant spiritually. And so, folks, people come to our country. Have you ever went on YouTube and looked at what do people think of Americans? Well, they say lots of stuff. They're amazed how wide our roads are. I mean, go to Europe. Your Escalade is not getting down the road in Europe. I'm sorry. But they say they have so much, but there is this dullness to what they could make of what they have. We see so many people coming from other countries here, and they are on fire to make themselves something. And they do. And we've become dumbed down to the opportunities we have. Folks, of all places on the earth where the Great Commission should be fulfilled to the max, it should be here. Right? Of all places where what God calls you to do concerning righteous living. I mean, Daniel's out there praying throughout, and people are looking at him and saying, hey, throw this dude in the lion's den. We can't even get up and pray once. How many times did he pray a day? Morning, evening, afternoon, right? So as I talk about these freedoms, we understand, we recognize there is this danger of us becoming so dulled and inconsistent and uncaring to what God has given us. And do not think that God will give it for us forever. because this freedom is something to be stewarded. Man, how on fire were the believers through the colonial times, through the Great Awakening times, because these freedoms that we have. And I wonder if this stewardship that God has given us of freedoms will soon be passed because we are not stewarding it the way we should be. Freedom of worship should support stable families. It should foster open dialogue with the false religions around us. But when freedoms are taken for granted, the liberties they allow become less precious. Now, does Scripture really teach freedom of worship? Well, not in the Old Testament. At least not freedom to worship false gods. In the Old Testament, they lived under a theocracy. Do not tolerate the unbeliever. Cast them out. But in the New Testament, we find that the church is not under a theocracy. We convert through love and truth, not force. We follow the example of Christ. Christ did not convert others through the sword, but through the power of the cross. Christ gives all men the freedom to worship whatever he chooses. Man has a choice. He will answer for that choice. And our founding fathers understood this. We must give all men the freedom of worship. So can I hit pause here, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to meddle just a little bit. Almost done. You can give me another 7 minutes. Okay. I hear brothers and sisters who are zealous about the faith being very intolerant of people who are different than them. And they say a lot of derogatory things about people in different religions or different races or those who have struggles with their sexual identity. And it's funny because we like the freedoms that we have. But we take those freedoms and say, I'm going to be intolerant of you. And folks, while we always need to stand for the truth, we need to stand. I preached a funeral yesterday down in Virginia where this man, a godly older man, he stood for biblical morals. He stood for that. Okay? But we cannot take our view and turn it on other people and be intolerant of them. I'm not saying accept a wrong doctrine. I'm saying stop being a jerk about what you believe. You hear it? Hey, I'm guilty of that. You go down south, they put that crazy stuff on the church sign. They put stuff on the church sign down south that you can't even repeat in this pulpit against people who are different. Okay? So while we have these freedoms, this amazing freedom to worship, it is not your freedom to be a jerk about what you have, what you believe. It's just not. For us who know the true God, we are so thankful for this freedom of worship. Oh, the Christians across the centuries who have looked forward to a place where worship was free. We are living in a time of maximum freedom and potential. Politically, spiritually, we're at a summit. Folks, do you not understand this? There have people who are in your family tree who have died to see what you have today, and we hold it so loosely. We forget what we have and why we have it. We can become not as proactive in using our liberty as we should. And so I am challenged as I think through just a simple message here. As we look at this declaration, what our founders were doing is they were declaring things that they held true, they believed were true, and they found most of them in the Word. I believe that. And folks, I am challenged that we as a church come back to not holding these things loosely. Now, I don't know what it looks for you concerning these freedoms, okay? But for me, I know that God is saying, you live in a neighborhood, and if you ever come over to my house, I'll explain further who's in my neighborhood. And you have the intense freedom to do and to say and to act, to witness, to share your faith. You're a pastor of a church. You got a swimming pool people could swim in. And you know one of your neighbors. I'll just be honest with you and tell you this. My wife went around to
One of the neighbors, she likes to walk. She's in shape. And she met one of our neighbors. And the lady was very kind, very nice, very gracious. And she says, "Welcome to the neighborhood." Or I should say, "Welcome to the gayborhood." Now, that's what this lady said. She says, "I'm gay. And that one over there is gay. And that person over there is gay." And my wife didn't say, "Oh, well, my husband's a Baptist preacher." But God has us there for, that's God's house for us. I know it's God's house for us. I know it. And God has us in this neighborhood. He has us in the gayborhood. And I'm not trying to be funny about it. That's what they said about the neighborhood. Guess what? I have freedoms to speak up. And freedoms not to be a jerk, but to say, "Hey, come into my house. We're going to be hospitable to you. We're going to love on you. We're just going to be honest. We're not going to offend you. And we're not going to say, sorry, it's not going to happen." Because I have the freedom to do that. And they have the freedom to live the way they want to. And they love their freedom. Do you know in other places, I don't agree with that lifestyle, but they would be killed for that lifestyle. They got the freedom to do whatever they want. So if I have freedoms to say, "Hey, here's what I believe, should I not take it?" Right? You have the freedom of equality, freedom of opportunity, freedom of worship, folks. We've got to do better. We just do. I don't know what that looks like to you, but I know what it looks like to me. And that's where I'm going to start. Thank God for our freedoms. Amen? Thank the Lord for this country. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for helping me speak this morning. And I pray that this sermon / lecture would be a blessing. Lord, thank you so much for our country. Lord, we are not worthy of this. We didn't decide where to be born. You allowed this to happen. And Lord, I pray that this good gift of freedoms in this great country would not be wasted by us. And Lord, we know that we are sluggish concerning some of these things. But Father, we pray that we commit to you to do better. Lord, I pray that you would help me to use my freedoms to stand up for truth in a loving way, to share your word. Lord, I pray that the blinders and the sluggishness would be taken off. Thank you so much for what we have. We love this country. And Lord, all it does is point to you. You truly are the God of all worship, the God of all freedom, the God of equality, God of opportunity. It's found in you. In Jesus' name, amen.